Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the studios of Teeing It Up in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling for a... Teeing It Up presents the Sunday Sprint for a Sunday, November 29th, the year 2015. Hello, Las Vegas.
Good morning.
I'll call Larry King there. How is it out there?
Good. Actually, not to correct you on air, but I am back in Florida this morning, just getting back from Vegas and heading down to Miami now.
Oh, I completely misunderstood your text message.
Ah, that's okay.
So where are you right now in the great state of Florida?
I am back in Daytona Beach for just the span of a couple hours between Vegas and Miami, and we'll be headed south shortly.
Okay, so why are you going to Miami? You just played a tournament.
Yes, and now we get to play FIU tomorrow night down in Miami.
Interesting. So the coaching staff for Stetson men's basketball essentially said, let's not give them a day off. Let's just get straight to Miami and kind of regroup from there.
Exactly. Well, you know, we had the option to fly directly to Miami yesterday, but he'd rather have them sleep in their own beds last night. So we got back yesterday, and now after just a few hours here in Florida, headed back out.
I'm not sure I am a fan of that line of thinking, but okay, I have to ask you one Vegas question before we get started. It's what every fan out there wants to know. It's the number one question you ask anybody who went to Las Vegas, and that question is, how was the food?
You know, it was great. We had a buffet free to us anytime we wanted, and I took too much advantage of that. So that was one of the better parts of the trip, however.
Look at you. How did Stetson do in the Vegas Invitational?
They beat Bethune-Cookman by 13, which was a good win. And then on a quick turnaround, about 18 hours later, lost to East Carolina by 20, which was a tough loss. And the coaches were disappointed with how that game went. But, you know, tough for a quick turnaround to take on a bigger program like ECU. But in the end, a 1-1 split, and could have certainly been worse.
All right, let's start into these games, and I'm going to flip the table on you. Why should I be interested in my own team against Miami?
Well, you know, for the playoffs, for the playoff picture in the AFC, I guess for the Jets, this is gut check time and time to save the season. We talked about it on Monday with the way things have gone, and now let's see how first-year head coach Todd Bowles and company there in New York responds. But at home against the Dolphins, a team they've already beaten, and a Dolphins team that, you know, is still in the hunt as well, I guess, in the AFC. So both these teams needing to win to keep the season alive. The Jets are at home against a team they've already beaten, against a division rival with the season on the line. You got to win today, and if you don't, I mean, you're the Jets fan. That's tough to swallow.
I'm very nervous. You know, they have not run the football. They've made bad coaching decisions, bad game management decisions. Fitzpatrick's made some bad decisions. There were calls in the week in some places for Geno Smith. No Revis. The secondary was awful. This Miami team has played harder under Dan Campbell. I'm not jumping for joy yet. I don't think the chances of this are optimistic for making the playoffs. I'm not sure, Luke. I'm just not that peppy about this game today.
Now, the Jets got off to that great start, and the defense was fantastic, forcing all sorts of turnovers. Now we have some turmoil, two consecutive losses in New York. Right now, sitting at 5-5, it's only 10 games, so it's been maybe too short to judge. But what's your opinion on Todd Bowles and how he has done here in his first year with the Jets?
He's done some peculiar things. You know, coaches in their first year got to kind of learn the ways when it comes to game management, clock management, play calling, et cetera. I think the biggest thing right now is that he's a flatliner. He's the most boring guy you will ever come across. My favorite TV show this side of Survivor is Jets Post Game Live on SNY. And it's not only for the analysis, but it was also for Rex Ryan's press conferences. You won't get that out of Todd Bowles. Apparently, he's more fiery backstage and in the locker room. I don't know if that's how he truly is, but I think some fans want to see him more accountable. And look, this offense has been unable to get back to running the football with Chris Ivory, which is so crucial to their success early on. That's not Todd Bowles' problem, but the buck stops with Todd Bowles, and I think that's some of where this frustration has started. Frustration is where Minnesota Vikings fans were last Sunday night. They faced Atlanta in the Georgia Dome today. That does not look like a good matchup on paper.
Well, that's an interesting matchup because it's big for postseason for both teams. And for the Vikings in particular now, they finished the season here with six games against six teams that are all currently fighting for a playoff spot. So an opportunity for Minnesota to really help themselves out for the rest of the year. And same goes for the Falcons this afternoon. If they could knock off a Vikings team that they're jostling for a position with. But for Minnesota, with the loss by Green Bay on Thursday, currently sitting in first place, and a win today will bump them up to a full game ahead of the Packers. So a big game for both these teams, as all games are at this point of the year for teams in the playoff picture. But see how the Vikings respond. They played terrible last week, as they always seem to do when the spotlight is at its biggest for Minnesota. But as Coach Mike Zimmer said during the week, you know, that loss is only troubling if you let it turn into more than one loss. And so I expect the Vikings to rebound and play better today, because that just seems to be the kind of guy Zimmer is, and I'm sure he lit into them. On the other side, the Falcons aren't playing very good football after that excellent start. They're at home. Big game for playoff positioning, as I mentioned. So, you know, Matt Ryan and company, get that offense going. Take care of the football for once, and you got to find a way to win.
Do you trust Teddy Bridgewater as the spots get bigger?
Absolutely. You know, he actually seems to play better when within a game when it gets bigger. He has about 15 wins in his short career now, and a third of them have featured fourth quarter comeback drives or game-winning drives. So he seems to play best late in games with the game on the line, as he did last week when he had a throw once the Vikings fell behind. The issue with Bridgewater seems to be he's too conservative early in games and doesn't start, you know, throwing the ball around until the team's trailing and he's forced to. So Zimmer also said earlier this year he'd like to see Bridgewater play the first three quarters like he does in the fourth.
For me, Luke, this is a Falcon team that has never gotten over the hump. I don't think this is the season that they'll get over the hump. I think the Panthers are too good. But this is a kind of confidence builder game if you're Matt Ryan, and I think that's what we need to look towards today when it comes to this Falcon team. The Giants face Washington, and Luke, this is a game that now that Tony Romo's gone, you don't think the Cowboys can play spoiler anymore, which makes this game so much more important. I'm not sure about you, Luke. I don't think Philly is for real either to win this division or as a spoiler. So when you look at these standings, when you look at the standings and you realize that a Giant team that got off to an awful start is 5-5 and Washington's 4-6, this Giant win gives them the two-game lead. And with the other two teams in this division not going anywhere, this could be kind of a semi-NFC East title game. These teams previously played on a Thursday night, and now here's that second matchup down in D.C.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the Eagles or Cowboys will pose much of a threat here moving forward, but the crazy thing is if the Redskins win today, they're tied for with the Giants for first place. The Eagles will still just be one game out. And even the Cowboys just two games out, as we continue to talk all along about how bad that division is. But, you know, Redskins at home, let's see what Redskins team shows up today. They beat the Bucs, then got killed by the Patriots, then blew out the Saints, and then got blown out by the Panthers. So I guess today they're in line for victory. But on the other side, the Giants have gone every other as well, beating the Buccaneers, should have beat the Patriots 2 weeks ago, but didn't. And prior to that, you know, back and forth with good game, bad game. So, That's why these two teams are right around 500. But for the Redskins, they play the Giants, and they play the Cowboys and the Eagles to finish out the year. And an opportunity to get their three wins right there to get to 8, and that may be enough, just enough to win that division.
It might be. And obviously the Giants beat Washington on that Thursday night earlier in the season. These are the games that Eli Manning lately has tended to throw a lot of interceptions in. Kirk Cousins has had some poor performances last couple of weeks. This is a game where I think Eli can remind some people, oh, yeah, by the way, this is why I'm the better quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. Steelers in Seattle late afternoon today. Once again, two more teams fighting for a position in their respective playoff pictures.
Yeah, and there's a report from Jason Lockenfora this morning that Marshawn Lynch won't be back. And I'm not sure what to think of the Seattle team. I think we've seen what Arizona can do in that division. I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, what to think about this game from either side. I think you're looking at a Cincinnati team that for the moment has stayed out there as a two-game lead. And then on the flip side of things, you've got this Arizona team that has a three-game lead on Seattle. So this is two teams that need a win to keep pace. And frankly, I think Cincinnati is a team that wins now and then loses in the playoffs, which is great fodder for people, but it doesn't help Pittsburgh's cause.
And you know, for Pittsburgh today, going into Seattle, this isn't the same Seahawks team in general, but certainly not at home either. Big Ben's been playing good football since coming back. As long as he can stay healthy, the amount of issues the Steelers have had at quarterback. But I like the Steelers today in Seattle. If the season were to end today, they'd be a playoff team. And if Big Ben can stay healthy, I do like this Pittsburgh team. On the other side, the Seahawks, just been too inconsistent this year for me. They're on the outside looking in, and I think it'll stay that way.
Something else to watch in this game, the efficiency of the Legion of Boom. They've let up some big plays this year, which is very unlike them. See if they can hold Antonio Bryant and all those people down and get some good performances. Finally, we have what should have been the Manning-Brady Bowl. It's not. It is instead Brock Osweiler versus Tom Brady. Could be in the snow for the Patriots tonight in Denver. It's going to be cold. Could be in the snow. This should be a Patriot win. Should be a big one.
Yeah, you know, the Patriots are depleted, and the Broncos have a really good defense, so I'm hoping they could keep it close. But despite Osweiler playing well enough to win last week, that was against Jay Cutler. Now he's got a bit of a little tougher test to keep up with Tom Brady tonight. So I like the Patriots in this game, but with the lack of weapons and with the tough defense he's going up against, I would like to think the Broncos can keep it close. And then, as you heard on ESPN, they've been talking about Gary Kubiak, his system having success against the Patriots defense. So maybe Osweiler can surprise some people. He did look pretty good in his first start.
Time for the end of the show, Luke. What's your game of the day?
I guess I got to go Sunday Night Football, Patriots-Broncos.
No. Washington, that game is a divisional playoff game, so watch that game. What's your sleeper game today?
I'll say Buccaneers-Colts, 2-5-5 teams.
Interesting. I like that matchup. Very intriguing. That game also features the reuniting of Dick Stockton and Matt Millen on Fox.
Oh,
broadcast.
Boy.
Broadcast is reuniting. The game to watch golf live, think of something.
So it always seems to be a Florida game. Chargers-Jaguars.
I was going to say that game. Also, Oakland-Tennessee. You can't get me too excited for that game either. Your Survivor game.
Arizona against the Niners.
That's a good one, too. Also, Baltimore, Cleveland. These are two anemic teams, but I think Cleveland with Joe Flacco out. I know it's a weird Survivor pick, but it's late in the year. And your player to watch?
Kirk Cousins, 0-3 against the Giants, 2 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Need to play well today.
Quentin Coffles cut by the Jets, now plays for the Dolphins. He's active. Those people have had horrible games sensational games against the Jets after they cut them. Luke, thank you, sir. Welcome back from Vegas. Safe travels to Miami, and don't party too much down there either.
Appreciate it.
Luke, I'm Jeremy. We'll see you next Sunday.